When it was told Saul, he sent all the messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then he also went to Ramah and came to a great well that is in Seku. And he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they are at Naioth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naioth in Ramah. And the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naioth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay naked all day and all night. Wherefore they said, is Saul among the prophets? He prophesied naked. The power was so intense. He was coming close to Samuel. He still heard as he was prophesying. He had an intention. But when he came too close, he had to become naked. The dose that was coming out of somewhere was too intense, that when he caught it, he prophesied naked morning and evening. There is a drink that is drink indeed. A wine that never came out of the fiber of plants, wherein holy men drank and became drunk, and they speak with the mouth of God. He prophesied naked morning and evening. In fact, the accuracy of his utterances were such that people wondered, he saw among the prophets. They had to trace his genealogy, and they discovered that no prophet came from his family. How come he utters words with so much precision? It was not about Saul, it was about the environment. There was a prophet called Samuel. He carried so much of God that his city came under the influence of his anointing. You want to say, Lord, I want to drink that drink that is drink indeed. He prophesied naked, my God. You know, he was coming with armor, so he had to remove iron armor. You cannot remove your armor without taking note. He prophesied naked morning and evening. I remember some years ago, we went for a meeting in Zaria, and this thing happened. And some people, me, I don't know, it was word of knowledge, till evening. I was seeing visions and speaking, and somebody misplaced his key through word of knowledge. It was traced by word of knowledge. He prophesied naked morning and evening. Wherefore it was said, he saw among the prophets. No wonder it was written concerning Zion, that upon Mount Zion, when you come to Zion, there is an anointing that is precedent. It occasions your deliverance. So much so that if your possessions have been taken by the enemy, it was on Zion that you possess it. It's just like a thief goes out to steal, and then because he stole, the anointing of Zion makes him to bring everything he stole and kept on the mountain. So when you come to Zion, you possess back. Those were there were anointings that were held up in territories, in regions. But in the day of Samuel, the borders of Israel were kept by power. There was no need to say, we are raising an army to defend. His anointing kept the nation. It was because of this discipleship that David received that he also prophesied, because he was with Samuel in Ramah. He used to go there once and again. He was not only the sweet psalmist of Israel, but he spoke about the visions that he captured of heaven. It was the anointing of Samuel that was operating in the life of David. If Saul had continued, he would have also developed that prophetic dimension. We are talking about a contagious spirit, something that can haunt you in your sleep. It can haunt you in the bus. It can provoke something on the inside. And he prophesied from morning until evening. We want to ask God, bring those days back again. Bring those days back again, wherein men will drink the wine that is wine indeed. I want you to cry, bring those days back, where the vile man will sing the songs of Zion, where the wicked man will be caught in the heart, and he will speak and give glory unto the God of heaven. Bring those days back again. We need that time again. We need that time. Bring them back again. Bring those days. We want to drink that wine that is wine indeed. To function under the influence of your spirit. That God will think through our thoughts and speak through our vocal cords. Is Saul among the prophets? From morning until evening time. We need that drink again. Sabola makande boboria mahai. Sarima marahabrasa tomohori. Sababo sandeta habrasa la baradamo. Open unto us the floodgates of the heavens. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the strength of the Lord seize mortal men. Let them speak for God. Let them prophesy in the name of the Lord. Let the hand of God become strong on your life. Sebratela esa sono compare. Manda baba la baba la baba. Is a drink that we will drink tonight. Enlarge the place of your tent. For God will cause you to break forth on every side. We give you praise, we give you glory. In Jesus' name. Now, time is always not our friend. Obviously, we're supposed to ride on this cloud until we get to high places in the spirit. Because of time, we'll need to interrupt your worship so that we can look upon two scriptures this evening. You are welcome. You may be seated. You may be seated. You know, when we get to the camp, we will not truncate things like this. We'll just ride on the cloud. And we'll get to high places in the spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Sorry, we had an electrical issue today. The load was too much on our junction box. And it blew up the fuse. So the ACs can't work this evening. So just please endure the heat, okay? We hope to get it fixed before you know it. In Jesus' mighty name. Now you see, whenever a wind of God blows like this, like the kind of worship that we began to partake in, what was happening was transport. Movement from one level in God to another level in God. It was a gravitation towards high places in Him. And there are several kinds of spiritual warfare that you cannot fight on the ground. You need to gain ascendancy in the spirit. Now that's the process. That's what the process of gaining ascendancy is like. Migrating. Migrating. And then the worship becomes more deepened because the revelations of God begins to come forth. His worthiness, His kindness, His goodness begins to loom before your understanding. And the worship is deepened and you are transported to high places in the spirit. Now, in order for us not to interrupt the Holy Spirit, let me just bring my two scriptures. And after bringing my two scriptures, we are going to go to Ramah this evening. Now, let me tell you what will happen. People will prophesy here today. You know that kind of power that was present in Ramah and they didn't know what happened. Today, just my two scriptures, just be patient, okay? Just two scriptures, then we connect and get to Ramah. And when we arrive at Ramah, men will prophesy. Now, it's not amen. No, when you hear 9 o'clock news, you don't say amen. I'm just casting news. This is what will happen today. When we are done with our two scriptures, we'll start gaining ascendancy and suddenly people will begin to what? To prophesy in this service. Now, we have a few moments to get there. Let me just give you two scriptures so that we can continue. In fact, my message has changed, but I will still keep it within the scope of that part of... It's always a burden to preach a series because the Holy Ghost can move and what you put on the outline will now become irrelevant. So, but we'll flow with Him and still keep the topic, the part of spiritual progress. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. We'll take one scripture from there. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, chapter 1. 1 Corinthians, sorry, chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If you are there, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 24, it says, know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore run not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep my body, I keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. The Apostle Paul was a strange kind of messenger from God. He was not one of the 12 with Jesus, even though the Bible, the scriptures reveal to us that Apostle Paul was alive and well when Jesus walked this world. A few scriptures that give us insight into that, but he was never Jesus' disciple when Jesus was around. Hallelujah. Now this young lad, I hope you know how his salvation came and what led to it. Now he came into the kingdom as a replacement to Stephen. When Stephen was stoned to death, the Bible revealed to us that Paul was one of the people that went to supervise his death. And that was where the anointing that was upon that man was hanging. You know, the Boko Haram people think they can wipe out Christianity. You can kill a man, but you cannot kill the essence that drives him. When you kill one, the anointing comes upon another one. When you kill that one, the anointing comes upon five people. And then somebody in the mosque wants to say, Allah, then he blows into tongues. It's something we cannot. Now, so what happened to Saul was that he was supervising the death of Stephen. It was the anointing of Stephen that was crying in the realm of the spirit. But he didn't know that something had transpired in the spirit realm. And so he was on his way to Damascus, and suddenly he encounters the light. Now, this guy got born again, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he had to proceed to Arabia by the revelation of God. Now, his pathway was different from the pathway of all the apostles that served the Lord before him. He was a strange fella. Because God drove him into the wilderness of Arabia because he had a destiny that was pivotal. Yes, he studied as a doctor of the law, studied under the doctor of the law, and learned all the ways of the law. And God wanted to use him, seeing that he was learned, to do something that the fishermen could not do. And so God had to drive him to Arabia so that he could look upon the original documents and could understand the measures of the throne of God and the dimensions of the kingdom. He came back from that place, and even the chief apostles could not reconcile with the dimension and frequency of revelation that he had. So much so that Paul had to say the things that Peter had to say, that the things that Paul has said, they were difficult to understand. That means Paul went beyond the scope of Peter and his colleagues. Why? It was the revelation of Jesus that he had in the wilderness of Arabia. One of the reasons I believe why Jesus did not allow Paul to show up while he was there was so that he could prove to all the world that he was not dead, that he was alive. Because Paul went on retreat to Arabia and came out with a powerful dimension of the revelation of God concerning the church. It was Paul that revealed to us the destiny of the body of Christ. What God wanted to do while he was taking the church through this kind of process. He came out wild. Now, a few years after his ministry, the burden he was faced with was the burden of communicating the things he had seen. He dropped prayer points in all the churches that he had planted. He said, pray for me that utterance. Now, the revelation had come, but the utterance to communicate it was not there. Now, that was how pure their ministry was. Most of you come and share dreams and insight and revelations that you have not received utterance to communicate. So even though the revelation is sacred from God, it has been defiled by your natural mundane utterance. If my calculations are correct, Paul waited for 14 years before he began to declare the full import of those revelations he contacted. And that is what we have in our Bible as the book of Ephesians. Paul saw the difficulty of communicating spiritual things to people that were not spiritual. And so he adopted a mode of communication using metaphors. It was Paul that spoke about a Christian as using the metaphor of a building. So at least you know what a building is. He called the church the ground and what? And the pillar of truth. That's a metaphor. So that at any point in time where the church is no longer functional within its scope and its mandate, the pillar that holds truth in the generation has been compromised. And you know what happens to a building when the pillar... It was Paul that spoke about the church and called her a bride. Yes, sir. It was Paul that revealed the Christian life within the context of warfare. And he said, no one that worried entangled himself with the things of this life, but seeketh to please him that has called him to be a commanding, to please his commanding officer, called him to be a soldier. He began to use metaphors. And in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we see another metaphor. Paul sees the Christian as an athlete. And all the things that pertain to athletics were captured in his exposition of this aspect of the Christian life. I like Paul. I like him. Now, actually, in the entire Bible, I understand the writings of Paul more than any other writing. Anytime I open to the books that Paul had written, there's access. Hallelujah. He came and he said, there are so many people that are part and parcel of a race. Just like the Christian race now, there are so many people that are trying to run. Jesus saved us and he said, oh yeah, run. So many people are on the track. It's like a marathon. But it happens to be Paul giving us an admonition that in this race only one obtains the prize. It means that the number of prizes are few, but the runners are many. Now, that is to say that a lot of people will not get a prize at the end of their race. A prize is not guaranteed for just everybody that is a participant in the race. Because of this abnormality, Paul now counsels us and says, run so that you will obtain. Tell your neighbor, run so that you will obtain. A man wanted to leave full-time ministry and he went to my father in the Lord for counseling. So he's frustrated in the city of Port Harcourt that the funds are not coming in. Things are so stressful. The land has rejected him. And my father and the Lord called him and said, since you started ministry, have you ever fasted 3 days dry fasting? And the man said, no. Now, this guy wants a mighty ministry, but he's not ready to fast dry. He has planned from the beginning of his race that he doesn't want to obtain. Now, you are not with me. It's not everybody on track that has a vision to what? That's why I say you should preach to your neighbor. Because there are so many people running, not with a vision of obtaining. So Paul now counsels us and he says what? Run so that what? Preach it to your neighbor, please. Run so that. Well, the way I see you, I know your prayer life. I saw you praying the other time. You were shaking. Well, I counsel you. Run. So that what? I remember in Kano we fasted. Oh! Now, you see, the truth is, not everyone on the track has a vision to obtain. Doesn't have any intention to obtain, but he likes the race. But Paul is saying, the prizes are few. The runners are many. So wisdom demands that you should take a decision at this point. Run with an intention of obtaining. Now, so I want to assume, because of Paul's counsel, that we want to run to obtain. No, it's an assumption. You can only answer for yourself. Do you want to obtain?
Now, if you want to obtain, it means the rest of the instructions and counsel that Paul gives is relevant to you. He now says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Mm. You see, striving for spiritual mastery is going to affect every area of your life. To affect your eating. It will affect your sleep. If you are that type that wake up in the morning, you talk till 8:30 in the night so that your groin, this place, will start paining you. If you start striving for the mastery, it will temper your talking. Hallelujah. There is this example I normally give about taekwondo games that they held. I think it's Nuga. So they wanted some people that would qualify from this zone to represent the state in taekwondo. And the guy that was representing Union Greek in that category, that time, he went on break and ate. And so when he came back from break, he was heavier than the category. And that was the only fighter on that level that Union Greek had. So the coach said, all right, you went and ate. He put him on 7 days dry fasting. Not to preach in a crusade. You are not with me. Not so that he can be in IBB Square. No, see, dry fasting for taekwondo. After 7 days, that extra weight had every man that strives for the mastery is what? Is temporary. In all, not one thing. Meanwhile, the guy in Union, our own representative from Benin State University, the guy has muscles, bicep. Anytime he comes to the floor, he comes like a big guy. Jesus. Ha. He's just, and he has bow legs, so he comes like this. Oh. My big guy. You put shin guard and hey. And because most of our students that time know nothing about taekwondo, he beats all of them. So he just come. When he's come, they are giving way. Every man that striveth for the mastery, his pride and arrogance had to be tampered if he was going to win. But there was nobody to challenge him that would teach him. So he was full of himself. And the young man that fasted in Union Greek, the day they were coming to take their weight to see if they were within the category, he was hungry. And he was staggering. His coach said, "Kai! Don't allow them to know that." What's that? So he was hungry, but he had to smile. Have you seen a hungry man smiling? That was like, all of this was for the mastery. Yes, he came on the scale smiling, and I think it was just 1 kilogram below the category that the team. So they marked him that he had passed the category. So he was released to eat. When the competition started, our man came to, you know, they were hailing him. Oh. Hey. This Union Greek boy beat our man and broke that his bow leg. Broke. He had already won, but he broke his leg in addition. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Even if you are a married man, you'll be temperate in touching your wife. Not because of quarrel. I know what I'm saying. Well, see me later. If you are a married man, see me. It will cost you. It is true for good for us to say the truth now, so that you will check whether you want to continue. Because the prices are few. Don't waste your time on the track. Hallelujah. God doesn't want any appetite to gain mastery over you. So you are going to be temperate. There is a woman like that. she must eat beans by 4 o'clock. You don't understand. She's like drum, but beans. One day she was on the system working, it was 4:30. And she shouted beans by 4. So she had reached 4:30 with her. Such a what? Cannot survive any spiritual battle. Because all the devil needs to do is to just take beans away. Every man that striveth for the mastery must be temperate in all things. In order for your spirit to be the organ that drives your universe, there are some deliberate decisions you have to take. No counselor will advise you to take them. It is personal. Paul is giving us insight into his personal life at this point. And Bible scholars said he wrote this in Athens during the Olympics. Yes, it was during, he saw the athletes, how they were. Then he said, no, this is Christianity. That if you are going to master the spirit life, he went for Olympics. If you are going to master the spirit life, you have to do more than this. You know when you started praying in tongues, how you pray for 30 minutes, the tongue is dry. You have to strive. It's not easy for any of us. Let me tell you the truth. You have to strive so that your capacity can increase by the Holy Ghost. He gives you a capacity that can go for 5 hours, can go for 7 hours. A time comes, you are not afraid of prayer again. You developed it over time by shutting down some other things so that your capacity for prayer can extend. If you want something to grow, you will shut the others so that the energy to push those ones are channeled in one direction. You are envious of people that can pray all night without coming to church. They can pray all night in their room. They didn't start that way. They began to develop it. And that prayer was to them more important than sleep. So they sacrificed sleep, sacrificed food, sacrificed something. I had a friend that he does night fasting. He doesn't eat from 7 o'clock. Then he goes for night vigil. He will eat in the day. 7 o'clock he will shut down. All kinds of skills just to gain mastery, just to bring the spirit and pedestal it as the organ from whence their lives are driven. So he said, everyone that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Even though physical athletics is dumb to obtain a carnal crown, but we do spiritual athletics to obtain a crown that is not carnal. He said, I run in my race. My race is not an uncertain race. My race is a defined race. Now, a lot of people are involved in this race and they don't know why they are running. Research has shown that the average Christian in the 21st century doesn't know why he's in church. Average. If you pass out a questionnaire on Sunday morning, why people are going to church, and ask them, why are you going to church? If they are sincere with you, 70% of your feedback will be that they go to church because that's what they are used to, not because there's anything significant going on. That man is running as uncertainty. He's not certain about the kind of race that God has called him to run. Obviously, because of that uncertainty, he cannot obtain anything that is deep with God. Paul said, I run, not like one that beats the air. I've seen so many people, sometimes they are zealous and they are coming for prayer. Ho, ha, sha, ho. And then after 2 weeks, I say, man, that thing, eh? My tongue don't dry. See, let me tell you something. We went past the dry tongue to come to the place where there's a pool where you can drink from. There were times in your life that you were burning, you were active in the spirit, and then you just decided to shut down. And you're expecting the blessings of God in full measure to rest upon you. Even you yourself, you are fake. God said, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. God said to the 419, I will become 419. When you start saying, oh boy, this thing, God will help you. There must be something definite. There must be a goal in your heart. And Paul's goal that was that he wanted to gain everything that Christ was offering. And as long as Paul knew that there was something in Christ that he could gain, he was still pressing on. There were so many distractions that came upon the way. But he was still what? Pressing on. Imagine Paul came into a city. And a woman speaking under the spirit of, by the influence of the spirit of divination, actually confirmed his ministry. That he was a messenger from the Most High God that came to show the way of salvation. Paul was not moved by that. And when she continued saying that Paul saw beyond the walls and discerned the spirit and casted it out. Now, if it's a minister today and somebody came and now said, all right, this one is from God, he's speaking the words of God, he's a man of God, he's a faithful man of God. He said, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been around sometime. Now, that man has stopped running. He doesn't have a goal. That's why that little salutation made him to slow down. Hallelujah. There was a man, he went to Jerusalem and became JP. So they were introducing him. And they forgot to add JP. Huh. He blasted everybody. That J, what? Paul says, don't run as if you are uncertain about your race. I don't know where we pick up all the titles from. That you are a fireman. Somebody wrote a pro, like in Lagos, they say, Pastor Fireman. Now, where do we pick those luggages? You get a title out of your intercessory ministry that you are a, you have stopped running. It's, the luggage is too heavy. Marathon, you can't run it with luggage, with baggage. Hallelujah. Somebody met me in my church in Lagos. I said, what? They don't know you here. I said, ah. What do you mean? Know me? He said, you mean you are a member? Hey. The pastor doesn't know that. He said, what kind of man are you? I said, I'm just running the race. That's what I'm doing. You go somewhere, you send them a note. Apostle, this person is around. You have stopped running. There's something else that you are looking for, not Christ. If by any means in the dispatch of your duty, you evolved a name to connote your status, your heart is as shallow as River Benue Beach. Hallelujah. The man fought because they did not put what? JP. He had to educate the crowd. How that he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he set foot on Zion. Hey. Oh my. You know he's looking for something else. If you see a man with a stick in the middle of the road beating the air, you will boggle him to psychiatric. That's in the natural. But people do worse things in the church. If you have a small boy like that those days, he went and, I don't know, he bought muffler, you know, this bishopric cloth, and he called himself bishop. If you refuse to acknowledge his title, you are a mortal enemy. You are apart from Satan, you are another enemy that he should use his life to conquer. He has stopped running. He's such that has carried a stick on the main road is beating the air. So often we find Christians that begin to pursue things that are not Christ. Just because before they started the journey, their goal was not well articulated. People like Paul could continue the way they continued because they had a definite goal to gain everything that Christ had to offer. Hallelujah. If you are such a man that is possessed with that kind of passion, somebody might hail you, you will not hear it. Because what is inside of your heart is deeper than the accolade, than the healing. Just in case you heard it, you are not a serious person. Hallelujah. Are you with me? If Samuel could operate under that anointing, so that everyone that came to Ramah, you come to the village close to Ramah, you are prophesying already. So, why will I accept a doctorate degree in the divinity? If there should be anybody that should be PhD in divinity, it was Samuel. Where have I reached that I will accept a doctorate? It means somebody is not serious. Hallelujah. The power of God was flowing out of his countenance, and everybody that came within range became exactly what that power wanted to do. Now, this is the action. Paul said, he has now gone personal. He said, I beat my body. I put it in subjection. I need you to understand that this is a consistent action of any man that wants to gain mastery. Because your flesh will fight you to the end. You will be in serious fasting and lust will catch up with you. You are, in fact, on the third day of fasting, and the lust was there from morning till night. The body is speaking, it's revolting. See, I know day. What you do is you beat it. In fact, because you wanted to go 7 days, the flesh is out. Okay, we'll go 14. When there's nothing to feed it, it will keep quiet. Okay, it will align itself. That fight, you will never outgrow it. I beat my body. I put it under subjection. And the eye speaking there is the will. It is a decision that I have made that I will not serve the desires of the flesh. If you like, rise up! You will go down. One of our fathers, he said anytime he wants to go on a long fast, hunger will plague him. When he's not fasting, there's no hunger. But the day he proclaims a fast and says, okay, I want to take a fast. Hunger. So what he does is that he will go into the kitchen and cook. And then he will put the food on the table. And then he will ask the food. If the food can jump from the table to his mouth, then he will eat. The flesh will see it. Then it will now line up. You will yield by force. That's what the Bible says, from the time of John the Baptist and until now, the kingdom, it allows violence. If you are not a radical, you cannot be a master in spiritual things. You know you are so gentle, that's why you miss out. Your prayer life dies, you are still there and say, take me out, I am in a lie. The volcano is dying. Wake up and fight. That's the struggle that every man that wants to gain spiritual mastery must have to engage. Notice something. The second point on the path of spiritual progress is in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, now, there is therefore no condemnation to them that are what? In Christ Jesus. That have deliberately decided to walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. So in Christ Jesus, there are two options of how you can walk. You can walk conveniently in the flesh and master the flesh and get entrenched in the flesh. And like teachers and preachers that will preach your flesh high, you can accept that as your own approach towards the Christian life. But Paul said you will live free of condemnation when you are in Christ, and in addition to being in Christ, you decide to walk according to the Spirit. Now, what I read in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, is the rigor that you employ if you want to enthrone the Spirit in your life. And that is a what? Personal decision. Because there are two options. You can decide to walk according to the flesh, and that's your own decision. You can decide to walk according to the Spirit, and that's your own decision. But, just in case you want to walk according to the Spirit, there is a deliberate decision you have to take, and it involves rigor. Suddenly God is saying that you should embark on a 21-day fast. That's when somebody visiting you from Kano will come with a sachet of yogurt. The person has not remembered you for 21 years. But the day you want to fast, the fast of deliverance, he is so benevolent. He comes with a trolley that each yogurt is for 1 year that I've missed you. The day you want to mount up with wings, your old girlfriend just say, I'm in town in the roundabout. I trace you through your younger sister. It's somebody that you have escaped from. You broke the seam, bought new seam just to be free. After 5 years, the day, the week, you say, Father, it's me and you. She's in the roundabout. Hey, everyone that striveth for the mastery is what? Is temple. Doesn't it surprise you that it's when you want to mount up the devil that the girl came? For 5 years, you were in peace. And it's not as if the guy broke the relationship. He just escaped for his life and found God. But he did not do it properly. He didn't know that if he was going to advance with God, he had to settle the things of the past. He didn't settle it. He kept one door open. And that door traced him. During his fast, the door opened. I said, I'm a Wurukum. Everyone that striveth for the mastery must be temperate. He said, I beat my body. I put it in subjection so that when I preach to others, I myself will not become what? A castaway. When God spoke to me clearly on my knees, he said, I prepared your wife, and the way you are going, you will never miss it. It means God takes responsibility to present my wife. Now, many of you fasted for 7 days, tried to get a wife. I did not. I was just walking with God. When the time came, he said, I prepared her. Hallelujah. Now, the devil too heard that proclamation. And the devil brought a candidate in the season. You don't understand it. Sometimes the devil knows your seasons. He knows your time. Some things that are proclaimed in the realm, they shake. The realm actually shook before that utterance came to your knowledge. And the devil is wondering, okay, when you look at him now, his marriage. Yeah. He's not even sure, but something vibrated. So he now went and got a damsel. Now, if you are not trusting God for the fulfillment of his word, you will settle in one of the alternatives that the devil has brought. When your season opens for you to get married, I assure you, the devil also knows. And he will come up with alternatives. So if you are not bent on having God's perspective, you will stop your journey. Three. The devil brought three. Knowing that, and the devil knows the kind of lady you like. The height. With open teeth. He knows you like open teeth. That the teeth, the front of the teeth. And then you just come out of your workplace, you just come out of the door, and just behold, open teeth, it's just shining. Now, he that strived for the mastery. In fact, I went somewhere and I was flowing in word of knowledge, flowing, and I beheld. I say, in fact, that you don't need any confirmation. yes, it was God that actually delivered me from that pathway, because the devil knows how to bring something that will just catch you and redirect you. Whenever you are close to obtaining, he brings something, and And that's why you must start the race not with a consciousness of uncertainty. It must, the goal must be clear, because alternatives will be presented. In fact, I've already said that that was the direction I was going until I saw the lady's anger. She got angry and was angry for 3 days. Then I now calculated. I said, wait, I'm a preacher. People will come to me. Then a woman I want to marry will get angry for 3 days. By meditation, I knew I was in the wrong. That God didn't speak. I just realized. As passionate as I was, zealous and prayerful, I almost missed it in that area. Now, should I tell you something? The fact that you are a man of fire is not a guarantee that you will get home. I beat my body. I put it under some objection. Because some of your senses, natural senses, will become your doctors, your educationist. It will cancel you. Meanwhile, the Holy Ghost has not spoken. But you have already concluded. I beat my body. Every other voice must be shut down so that the spirit can be pedestal. When that happens, you will discover one day you will mount up in your room, mount up with wings, and you'll be standing in the heavens. That was something I thought was impossible. But when it happened that I was aligned, it was easy to hear God and to have faith. It was easy to trust God and to walk by faith. And one day I was in my room in prayer, and I mounted up from the floor and I stood before God in the heavens. Many times when I preach, when I look up like this, I see Jesus. Many times. Just sure. When the spirit is enthroned, there are dimensions, there are realities that are bound. You will not live with the resources that are in the bank. There are other resources of which you know nothing of, that will come to support your adventure. I have seen the glory of God, and what God wants to do in your life, the devil is aware of it, and that's why he wants to resist you, because he knows that when you drink of the water brooks, you will desire nothing of this world. Hallelujah. It is my experience for about 10 years now. 10 years. From 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., an angel begins to sing. About 10 years. Not 10 days. About 10 years. If I knew how to play the guitar, I would have written many songs from heaven. For 1 year on this pulpit, I sang songs that have never been sung anywhere before. For 1 year. 1 year. When I just come to the pulpit, I pick it. Now it is 10 years I hear the angels sing from 5 p.m., 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. in the evening. I can pick that song and it will sing in my spirit for 4 hours. It doesn't matter whether you insult me that time, doesn't. Whether you curse me, don't know. I'm on a level, I'm not on the ground. Your curse is on the ground, but I'm somewhere far from what you are doing. So what you are doing cannot affect me. Now somebody can go into the shrine and invoke a curse, invoke a charm. It doesn't affect me, I'm not on the ground. Your charm can only work when my feet is touching the ground. But I'm standing on Zion. I found power in that realm, in that corridor. Oh. Malato. Found power in that corridor. I knelt down and was praying. An angel came through the wall and spoke clearly to me. And I wrote the things down and they came to pass. I said, hey, these kind of things happen. An angel can come and speak like this. A time came, it became common. The future, you know it before it comes to pass. So that you have the advantage of positioning yourself in a strategic place. Spirit life. A life that is beyond time. A life that is not a life of flesh and blood. And no man with the tools of the enemy can fight you successfully. I was posted somewhere. Okay, I was posted to the depot here. Then I found out that those guys, they use charm. Hey. 4 o'clock. Normally on Thursdays, people die. 4 o'clock on Thursday. Do you know we buried people every month for 4 years. 4 o'clock on what? Until my friend now died on Thursday. He was rushed to the hospital by 4 o'clock. Before we came back from the office, he had died. The colleague that I came with to open the office, she will go to Total, collect fuel, go to Corn Oil, collect. She was always having fuel. One day she woke up, the right hand was paralyzed.
What like this?
So God began to teach me warfare. He said, don't eat when there's sunlight. Eat when darkness comes. The charm that works there won't affect you. Don't eat what? When there's sunlight. Eat when? So I ate like that for 1 year. No charm could penetrate because I was standing on Zion. Yes, our brethren from Naka, I know where you are ministering. There's darkness. I've discovered that where there's darkness, that's the best place to minister. If you are an accurate man of God, you'll be advertised easily. I've seen the futility of charms and amulets. It depends on where you are standing. Hallelujah. Then when they try you for 1 year and they can't get you, they say you are a bad man, an evil man, that you are an occultic man. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now you need to take a decision as to how far you intend to go with God. I believe that the dead can come back to life. I believe that the lame can walk and the blind can see. Hallelujah. But it will be difficult for you to believe that if you are not standing on Zion. Today, the spirit of prophecy will come into this house. Good time. And men will begin to prophesy. That's the way God wants to move today. Tomorrow we'll find out how he wants to move. But today, that's how he wants to move. And we are going to pray for 15 minutes. When the spirit of prophecy comes, I will tell you. And people will begin to move in that power. What happened in Ramah will happen here today. In the name of Jesus Christ. You know, the things written in scripture, they are not stories. If they happened before, they can happen again. Now, see, watch it. As I'm standing now, one angel has come. The angel is standing on my right hand. A little bit taller than I am now. But as the service goes on, its height will begin to increase. When its height has gone beyond this roof, there is something that will begin to happen on this roof. Because its height has gone up. God began to introduce me to the spirit realm. He introduced me to angels. Some, he can call their names to you. Others he will not. You will know them by the things that they do. There are some times when you grow to some level in the realm, he cautions you. The reason why he will caution you is because the kind of angels he has released to work with you, they are hard to appease. And those angels will only obey the instructions of God. They will work with you as long as you are in alignment with God. You become their enemy when you decide to stay outside of God's way. There is a world that your eyes cannot see. But that world is more real than the world in which you dwell. Kings can rise and kings can fall. But there's a throne entrenched in the heavens that is eternal, the foundation of which is righteousness. That world and that nation is where you became a citizen of when you gave your life to Christ. And it's only when you pedestal and enthrone your spirit as the pinnacle from when your life will be administered, that you begin to interface with that world and begin to interact with that world. And then the reality of that world, you begin to experience it, and then you know that the things that your eyes can see are a lie. The Lord needs to open our eyes to see how beggarly our attempts in the flesh are. It was Isaiah that said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated upon the throne. I don't know why that vision took so long. He never knew that the spirit realm was so tangible, something he could interface with. When he saw the protocol around the throne of God, creatures that he has never imagined, having six wings, with two that covered their faces, with two that covered their feet, and with two they did fly. I've been trying to imagine that scenario. The Bible says that the garment of the Lord was endless, such that it filled the temple. It was in that place that Uzziah was judged, because the throne he had in the palace did not look like the throne that came from heaven. He was supposed to be an illustration of that throne from heaven. But the day that throne appeared, the lines were drawn by the angels, and they saw that Uzziah's throne was not a replica of that throne from the heavens. So Uzziah had to die because he was an imposter. He said, in that year that Uzziah died, my eyes were open, and I saw one whose train filled the temple. Seraphims were revealed that day. The atmosphere was full of a potent fume of holiness, so much so that there was no preacher. And Isaiah had to confess his sin. No message, no crusade, no evangelist. It was the revelation of the holiness of God. I'm not talking about Bible study, the one you do on Sunday morning. This guy encountered literally the holiness of God. The seraphims were scary. He confessed at the altar. He said, my only problem is that I'm a liar. When I prophesy, I add. Hey, there was no evangelist that night. It was a reality of a realm. That realm never began. He just had the encounter of that realm. That realm is a realm of a perpetual continuum. It doesn't start, it never ends. But you can participate in it anytime you come in. Spirit life is the only advantage we have over the enemy that has been plaguing this land and plaguing her people. Such as be among us must mount up with wings as eagles. We must go to that place yonder where we can look diligently, intently upon that light. For the Bible reveals that when we shall see him, we will be like him. The one that he saw upon the throne never spoke. It was the seraphs that spoke on his behalf. And one flew swiftly and came to the altar where life coals were burning. Those were the life coals from the mountain of Zion. The coals upon which angel Lucifer walked to and fro and up and down. The Bible revealed that he walked in the midst of the coals of fire. The fire of Zion purified him. And when he was purified, he gave it off a light. And that was how he earned his nickname, Lucifer, the light bearer, the bearer of light. The life coal was placed upon his tongue. A prophetic ministry started because of the coal of the seraphs came upon the tongue of a man. That was the messianic prophet. He saw so deeply into the reality that surrounded the death of Jesus, much more than the narratives that wrote about it. He was the one that said Jesus was like a root that sprang forth out of dry ground. No man can speak like that. But the coal of the cherub had sanctified his tongue. The great apostle Babalola that we hear of, it was Angel Michael that appeared to him. And he wrote in his chronicles that when Michael came, his feet did not touch the ground. He was suspended. And he said, this piece, tuba of yam, is for the whole world. There's nobody in the world to eat it. but you are qualified. Eat the yam. That was how a ministry of signs and wonders began. When he was 30 years old, in a service, he suspended between heaven and earth. He interacted so much with the spirit realm that on the year he was supposed to die, he gave prophecies of each year, 24 years into the future, how that Nigeria will go through the wilderness, and then a time will come where the nation will be reborn. This man read out of scripts and out of scrolls from heaven. He that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Can you rise up on your feet as we pray? Touch my tongue with a life goal. How long will we linger on the ground? For the Lord himself doth invite us to come sup with him in the mountains of Zion. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, which the vulture's eyes have not seen. We want to ask God to touch us with eternal things. The Bible speaks about the holy things of David. What transforms mortal men and make them princes in the heavenlies in their generation is because they came in contact with things that were holy, things powerful, things strong. Now I'd like you to consecrate yourself to the Lord. The angels of the Lord are descending. Ikabalondes abala. Oberanis efose masia. Mambra sata babo shanate pregete babakuri. And for my eyes have seen the King. He's the Lamb upon the throne who reigns forever. For my eyes have seen the King, is the Lamb upon the throne who reigns forever. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. Exalted high above the worship of the people of the earth. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. Ikobalemo. And for my eyes I've seen the King. Is the Lamb upon the road. And for my eyes have seen the King, is the Lamb upon the throne who reigns.